Well, greetings, friends. This is John O'Gwen. We're continuing our survey of the former prophets, continuing on through the book of Judges. We came last time up through Judges chapter 4 and into Judges chapter 5, what is commonly called in Judges chapter 5, the Song of Deborah, or the Song of Deborah and Barak. Deborah was the prophetess that God used to reveal his message to Barak. Barak had led the Israelites and the Canaanite tribes that had been oppressing Israel are now subdued. And the land had rest. Deborah had to act as though she were a mother in Israel, we're told. And yet, the land had rest once again for a little while. But we're told in chapter 6, verse 1, that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord now delivered them into the hands of the Midianites for 7 years. And the Midianites prevailed against Israel, and we find that they oppressed them. In fact, there were all sorts of terrorist raids that took place. Many of the Israelites were hiding in dens of the mountains. They were hiding in caves. They were scared. The Midianites and the Amalekites came up, and they came against them and just devastated much of the land, destroyed many of the crops. And it describes all of this. Verse 6, Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and they cried out unto the Eternal. And God sent a prophet, verse 8, which told them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. And I said, I'm the Lord your God, don't serve and fear the gods of the Amorites, but you have not obeyed my voice. Israel was having these problems, these curses were coming on them because they weren't obeying the terms of the covenant. Now, the story, at this point, we're introduced to one of the well-known characters of this period, a man by the name of Gideon. An angel appeared here, and at the time, Gideon, we're told, is hiding behind a wine press. He was threshing wheat by a wine press to hide it from the Midianites. Now, wheat was normally winnowed in a large open area, usually on a hilltop where there would be a breeze, because through threshing, the grain of wheat was actually separated from the head and all of the bits of straw, the chaff, as it's called. The chaff was very light, and the wheat was much heavier. And so they would throw by the basketful this threshed wheat up in the air, and the wind that was blowing would blow the chaff away, and the wheat itself would come down there in a pile, and it would be cleaned in that way. Well, Gideon wasn't on a hilltop. Gideon was hiding behind his father's wine press, and he was threshing his wheat, or rather winnowing his wheat, a handful at a time. He was sort of throwing it up, blowing on it, and just a tiny little bit. He'd spend all day trying to get enough to eat doing that. He was terrorized. He was afraid of these marauding Midianites. And the angel appeared there, and he said, Hail, you mighty man of valor. Well, Gideon started looking around to see who was being talked to, because he was hiding out there. And God said through the angel, the Lord is with you. And Gideon said, if the Lord is with us, what's happened to all the miracles that we used to hear about? How God brought our forefathers out of Egypt. And Gideon was told that he was the one that God was going to use to deliver the nation. And Gideon said, surely not me. Why, my family's poor, I'm just a small farmer, and we don't have a whole lot, and surely I'm not the one. You know, God chooses the one through whom he will work. Gideon, we find him listed in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, as a mighty man of faith. But you know, individuals of great faith don't necessarily start out that way. Gideon was frightened and hiding. As God began to reveal himself to Gideon and to enable Gideon to come to know him, because to know God is to have confidence in him and to trust him, and that's the basis of faith. Gideon came to know God and to be used of God in a mighty way. Gideon asked God to show him a sign. As we go through, we find that this was revealed and how God sent a miraculous sign. The first sign was a sacrifice that was miraculously consumed, and then Gideon built an altar. And the first thing that Gideon was instructed by the angel to do was that he was to destroy the altar of Baal there in his town. Now, Gideon wanted to obey God, and he wanted to follow the instructions, but he was frightened. So as you go on through chapter 6, what you find is that Gideon decided to go out there late at night, perhaps in the wee hours of the morning, and he would tear down the altar of Baal and destroy it, but he would do that when no one was around, and he didn't figure anyone would know who it was. Well, of course, sooner or later, word gets out. And they found out that Gideon had done this, and people were upset. But Gideon then asked God to give him some more signs, because God told Gideon, I want you to gather an army to drive out the Midianites. And Gideon asked God, he said, look, if you're really going to save Israel by my hand, please give me a sign that will enable me to know you're really with me. I'm going to take this fleece, and I'm going to lay it on the ground. And the sign that he asked, if there's just dew on the fleece and none on the ground around, then I'll know that it's you. Well, that happened. And he was able to wring the dew out of the fleece. Gideon said, now, Lord, please don't get angry, but could you give me just one more sign? What about this time, let there be dew everywhere else and the fleece be dry? God did that. Now, Gideon gathered the people together. He was instructed by God to call for an army. An army gathered together. And then what you find is God told Gideon, he said, Gideon, the army you have is too big. It'll never do. You know, if I let you take an army that size out to fight the Midianites, the next thing I know, you will be thinking that you're the one that was a successful general. The reality is, I'm the one who's going to give you the victory. Now, perhaps you've heard the story at the Alamo of how Colonel Travis drew a line in the sand with his sword. And he said, you know, everyone that is prepared to stand with me and defend the Alamo, you know, step over here. He crossed the line, and everybody there crossed the line except perhaps one man. Well, Gideon sort of did the equivalent of that, God's instruction. He called his army together and he said, everybody who wants to stay here and fight the Midianites, over here with me. Anybody that's afraid, go home. Well, it didn't work for Gideon like it worked for Colonel Travis at the Alamo, because when Gideon called for that, two-thirds of his army disappeared. You can just imagine, you know, Gideon's heart began to sink. He didn't think his army was too big to begin with. God said, I want you to tell everybody afraid, go home. They did, and Gideon had only one-third of the army left. Gideon was told by God now, he said, you know, Gideon, your army is still too big. It's still too big. I want you to take them down to the river and have them get a drink of water. And you stand back and let's observe how they drink. And so they did, and as they watched, God told Gideon, he said, you see those, you'll count, there's about 300 people down there. And they're drinking water by picking it up and lapping it like a dog. He said, that's your army. Send the rest of them home. I'm going to save Israel by the 300 men that lapped water like a dog. Well, Gideon was feeling a little bit overwhelmed by this. So he told Gideon, he said, look, you're afraid of the Midianites here tonight. I want you to sneak down to the camp. I want you to overhear what they're saying. And Gideon overheard one man telling another man his dream. And he dreamed as though this great barley loaf came tumbling down into the camp and destroyed it. And he was didn't know what that meant. And God told him, or what the man said, was that surely, you know, that must be Gideon. That must be the God of Israel going to deliver us into the hands of the Israelites. So Gideon heard the telling of the dream, verse 15, and he was encouraged. So he went back and he got his 300 men together, and they took lamps. They put a pitcher over the lamp, clay pitcher or pot over the lamp to hide the light. They took a trumpet and they took a sword. And they spread out on the peaks of on the mountains just round about surrounding the valley where the Midianites were camped. And when Gideon sounded the trumpet, all of these 300 men at the same time smashed the clay pot or the clay pitcher. And so to the eyes of anyone down in the valley, what they saw was just instantly, as it were, these lamps appear, lights, 300 lights all around. And the trumpets were blown, and a shout was made, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Well, God used that circumstance to absolutely throw pandemonium into the Midianites. They fell upon one another and killed one another, and the whole bunch was wiped out. And God delivered the Israelites through Gideon. Now, chapter 8 of the book of Judges tells the story of some of the Ephraimites who got their feelings hurt. They were upset because they hadn't been allowed to be part of this this army. And they tells the story here in chapter 8 and the response here on some of that that Gideon took, and how certain of the some of the cities that had not been cooperative and supported Gideon's effort, how the leaders of those cities were disciplined. So the people of Israel said to Gideon, verse 22, we want you to rule over us, you and your sons. We want you to be our king. You've delivered us from the Midianites. And Gideon said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be your king, and my children aren't going to be kings. So Gideon asked for a reward. There, many of the men slaughtered in battle that day were Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites were noted for wearing earrings. The men, that was not something the Israelites did, but they were easily identified as Ishmaelites, as it mentions in verse 24, because they had these earrings on. So those were taken and given to Gideon and melted down. The Midianites were subdued before the children of Israel and were no longer able to disturb the land. Gideon had quite a number of children, and he judged Israel for many years. But when he died, what are we told in Judges chapter 8 and verse 33? When he was dead, the children of Israel turned again and they went after Baal. They didn't remember the Lord God that delivered them. Now, as you come on through the story in chapter 9, we find that Gideon had had a son by the name of Abimelech. And Abimelech was the son of a concubine, the people of Shechem. And this Abimelech had a desire to be king. He wanted to make himself king in the eyes of the land, so he engaged in the subterfuge to get his brothers together and to destroy them and to have himself made king. It is at this point, by the way, with the death of Gideon, that Israel as a centrally administered nation during the time of the judges came to an end. In the aftermath of Gideon's death, the land basically fractured into three divisions, the east, and the north and the south. And that is described here. And ultimately in Judges chapter 9, death of Abimelech here in chapter 9. How in verse 55, the men of Israel saw Abimelech was dead, and they departed every man into his place. And God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done unto his father, slaying so many of his brothers. And so this came to an end. Now, chapter 10 records some of the other judges. It talks about Tola and Jair the Gileadite, mentioned in verse 3 here of Judges chapter 10. We find that Israel forsook the Lord, and God's anger was hot against them, and they were sold into the hands of the Philistines, verse 7. And so this story is told as to what happened here. And the Philistines and the Ammonites and various ones here began to oppress Israel. And the story continues, as we will see, in the various, this fighting in the various sections of Israel beginning in the next chapter 11. And so, until next time, this is John O'Gwen for the Living Church of God.